Take your Bibles this evening and turn it to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, we're looking at verse 2. You remember that we talked about a committed church member is going to be somebody that attends. You show up, one that adores, and really that has the idea of loving one another. We said that it is someone who absolves others, and not in the Roman Catholic sense, but one that is willing to forgive another family member, a church member. A committed member is going to be one who is in one accord with the rest of the church. We talked also about amplifying one another. I still didn't fix that going in the wrong order there, obviously. But I want you to see that we talked about amplifying, edifying one another, building one another up. But tonight I want to talk about assisting one another. And with this idea, I was in basketball, to make an assist is to give a pass to someone else so that they can score. It is really a thankless stat, because you don't get your name in the paper having scored 30 or 40 or 50 points. I think John Stockton from the Utah Jazz probably has most assists recorded in the NBA. And most of you say, who's that and who cares? I agree. But, regardless of whether it's an important stat in basketball, I will tell you this, it's an important character quality of a committed church member. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, the troubles of this world can often seem numerous, unyielding. Sometimes the Christian life can feel like one of those ocean waves, the ocean tide that just is relentless, with one wave following the next with barely any time to even catch your breath. Job 5:7 tells us that yet a man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upwards. I don't know if you've ever had a campfire and just taken a log and thrown it on a fire that's already burning, and all those embers immediately come spewing out of the fire and into the air. And that is always the verse that I'm reminded of. You know, it's not so easy to always stay focused on heaven when we remain unperturbed by the afflictions of earthly life. You see, we're commanded in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, to set our affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. But I'll tell you this, even the most committed believer amongst us would have to agree that the earthly trials sometimes just obscure that heavenly perspective. We worry, we grieve, we stumble, we strain under the weight of our daily lives, our daily living, our daily responsibilities. I think often we just feel the weight of our fallen condition. Meanwhile, we're assaulted with adversities of every imaginable kind, and those are just the few many worldly burdens that frequently keep our thoughts from rising to heaven. What are some of the things that we walk through that can prevent us from having that heavenly perspective? I want to remind you that this is a Bible study. And so it's a time where I would love for you to get involved. I know sometimes you get nervous. Oh, what if I say the wrong thing? I'm just going to make fun of you and everybody's going to laugh and then we'll be done and move on. No, we're not going to do that. We just want to stop sometimes, and we talk about burdens and we talk about things that weigh us down. But so often, that's why I like on Wednesday nights to make it very, very practical. I want you to go out of here thinking about ways that you're going to be able to actually bear someone else's burden. But if it is, yes, we should bear each other's burdens, and we all go home thinking, yes, we're all rah-rah, carry burdens, but yet we need to ask ourselves at the end of tonight, am I bearing someone else's burdens? Am I assisting someone else? Am I helping someone else in the church family that needs their load shouldered? And if we don't even know what those loads are, how can we ever begin to think that we are helping someone? So what are some of the things that can really wear somebody down? You know, out in New York somewhere, I think it's in front of the New York Stock Exchange. No, that's the bull. But right across the street, somewhere down the road, there's a muscular-looking man, and he has the world on his back. And it's supposed to be Atlas. And he's carrying the weight of the world. But I'll tell you, in that statue, he is straining. But I feel there are a lot of Christians that are walking around, they feel like they have the world on their back, and they are straining. But what are some of those burdens that we tend to carry around? Brother Joe?
Finances,
absolutely. I think that is a big one. Listen, if half of marriages end in divorce, and then I think it's the second leading cause in America right now, I would say certainly finances are a point of a burden in people's lives. Absolutely. What else, Brother Bill? What's that? Health issues. Absolutely. Health issues are something that burdens that is a burden to people that can weigh them down. There's no doubt about that. Anybody else? You know, of all the things I put on the list that I was thinking about today, Brother John, that's not one I had on there. That's an excellent point. That's a burden that you will carry around if you have loved ones that are not serving the Lord. Excellent insight. Anybody else? Unfulfilled ambitions. That's another very good point. Things that you want to do or wish you would have done. Absolutely. Anybody else have some ideas? We're going to get to how we can help in a little bit. We're going to break some of these down in just a little while. But what is there anything else? I think we hit a lot of the major ones when you talk about finances. And what about sin? The weight of sin. You know, I think that there are some addictions that people might face. Listen, right now, recreational drug use is becoming legal in many states. I think Michigan just passed that last one. And that is a scourge on our country, I'll just tell you that. And that is a gateway drug into things that are much more destructive. But I will tell you this, there already is an epidemic of people that are addicted to prescription drugs. And we have to get away from this idea that when somebody has an addiction, that they are unclean and that we have to stay on the other side of the road. When somebody is struggling in addiction and bondage, it is time for a church family member to come alongside and say, "Brother, I want to help you." And whether it's recreational drugs or prescription drugs or if it's pornography or if it's alcohol, no matter what it is, if it's some sin that has got somebody in bondage, it is time to help them. It can be tobacco. It doesn't matter what it is. It needs to be someone that can come alongside. And oftentimes in Corinthians, we're told that we're able to put our arm around somebody and say, "Listen, this is how God helped me through it." Or I've had family members in this, but I want to help you. Now, it's not always going to be received. I'm just going to tell you that. Not until somebody reaches their absolute bottom. And I know just from dealing with people, when I think someone has hit bottom and I'm going in and I'm trying to help them to see, sometimes they have a couple of floors still to go. And there's nothing you can do until they reach out and cry out for help. But listen, as a Christian, you ought to want to be there, standing with your hand out, waiting for them to take it. And so there is certainly a lot of different areas. We're going to talk about some of those more and maybe how we can step in as believers. But you know, we are commanded repeatedly in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And so if we are going through a trial or we're carrying a burden, we're commanded to have our affection set on those things which are above. And then when somebody comes alongside of us, we shouldn't be so quick to deny that help. Can I tell you something this evening? We all have a problem with pride. We don't want people to know that we need help. I'm looking at a room full of people that I know specifically would do just about anything. Somebody that really needed help, they would do it. I'm looking just at a room of people that love people, and I'm thankful for that. Listen, we've taken offerings, and I've seen people sacrifice for others, and it is a blessing as a pastor to see a heart of a church that has a heart to love people. But I will tell you, there's not one person in here that wants to be the recipient of that. And sometimes we have to lay our pride aside and we say, Lord, thank you for the blessing. And then what you're doing is you're being a blessing to someone that is trying to bless you. I hope you understand that. We're reminded in 2 Corinthians 4:18 that we look not on at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. And sometimes that burden is part of the spiritual warfare that we are engaged in. And so we cannot allow the burdens of our life to divert our hearts and our thoughts from that heavenly perspective. But what happens is the load of those cares do sometimes dissuade us from looking where we're supposed to. And when the load weighs us down and the troubles become too much, sometimes I think we fear trite sound bites are going to ring very hollow. And what do I mean by that? I mean things like, hey, I'm praying for you, brother. Well, I'm praying for you, sister. And really all it is just a greeting or a farewell. And there's really no heartfelt intention in that. But when we see someone stagger, we ought to be willing to help to steady the load. If someone is straining, we ought to help bear the burden. And if someone stumbles, then we ought to be there to lift them up, not to kick them further down. You see, helping a fellow believer carry the weight of their trouble is one of the chief practical duties that ought to consume every Christian. I'll tell you this, I really believe that this mindset of picking somebody up rather than pushing them further down is contrary to the drift of our current culture, with secular society's tendency to foster self-absorption. This generation, I believe, has developed an unhealthy obsession with entertainment. I read somewhere recently, I don't know if this is accurate or not, but that people are spending upwards towards 6 hours a day in front of some sort of screen or another. I don't know that that's all on entertainment. I know I spend a lot of time studying at the computer, but if that is entertainment-based, then we are drastically going into a irreversible trend that says entertainment is everything. So, when we are daily assaulted with a plethora of these different diversions, we tend to interact with each other in sound bites. We don't have the face-to-face communication that they had a generation ago. You know, I think we live in communities and we live in this town of 20,000 people, and I believe that not just Christians, but our society is more isolated and alone than at any other time in history. We have more methods of communication, and yet we are more isolated than ever before. We spend time with faceless media and social networking, never being social. But I fear that a lot of churches nowadays are imitating the culture precisely where we most need to confront and counteract its influence. Listen, a lot of churches, their whole goal is just to get bigger and bigger and flashier and more technologically savvy, and they usually become colder and more impersonal along the way. Now, I'm not against using technology. I mean, we've got that thing going this evening, and I'm thankful for microphones and speakers, but If your whole drive is just to be technology-driven and to be on the cutting edge of everything, and it's not about ministry or about people or certainly about sharing the Word of God, then you have wrong motives and you have wrong methods. But I'll tell you what that drive, when it's just about multimedia, it's really about entertainment, I'll tell you that. But it fosters the me-first agenda and the self-love rather than the one another commands that are found throughout all of Scripture. And as a result, we don't bear one another's burdens as we should. And I fear too often it's because we can't see past our own screen. But I'll tell you this, Paul made this duty a very high priority. It was the centerpiece of his admonition to the Galatian churches. So we talked about sorrow. I think somebody mentioned that. Finances, marriage, vocational difficulties, the health, those that are shut-ins, those that are suffering from diseases, those that are just simply out of commission. We talked about sin and addictions. But you know, I want you to look at verse 2 again in Galatians chapter 6. Bear ye one another's burdens. This whole idea is not a suggestion from God. It's a command. So I don't get up here saying, listen, I really think this is a good idea because you're going to really feel good about yourself when you go out and you help somebody and you help to bear somebody's burdens. You're going to get a blessing from that. Listen, all that's true, but the honest, very base idea of this is do it because God said so. Now, I'm thankful that He blesses us when we are obedient. But our first course or our first decision or course of action should not be because we're going to be blessed. It ought to be because we want to be obedient. And obedience brings blessing. Now, as I mentioned, I believe this precept applies to all sorts of burdens. In context here, it is about being sick. But I think it's a broader precept than that. And when Paul suggests that burden-bearing fulfills the law of Christ, I believe he makes it clear that he has the whole moral law in view. And so every act of compassion and self-sacrifice on behalf of our brethren is a practical means of displaying the love of Christ and thereby fulfilling the moral demands of the law. One author said the apostle clearly has in mind spiritual, emotional, and temperamental encumbrances, not physical freight only. You see, the burdens we need to help carry for one another include guilt or conviction, worry, sorrow, anxiety, and all those things that we talked about earlier. Love your neighbor, we're told. How do you love him? By bearing his burden. It's interesting that Paul emphasizes this theme in an epistle written to confront people that are struggling or falling into legalism. It's as if he were saying, you want to observe a law? Let it be the law of Christ. If you want to impose burdens on yourselves, let it be through acts of love toward your neighbor. I like that. And if you'll do that faithfully, your own burden won't seem so heavy. And best of all, I believe you'll find it easier to keep your focus where it should be, with that heavenly perspective. We're reminded again in Romans 15:1, when we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We're going to come back to that, but I want to give you one last reference. Philippians 2:3-4 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So, going back and just thinking about some of the things we talked about, I think finances were the first one we said. I thought I had a list on here somewhere. There it is. I think finances was the first thing mentioned. what can we do as a church family member if you know somebody is struggling? Brother Bill? Yeah, absolutely. Praying is a big thing. And you know, through all the different things that we've talked about on being a committed member, I can tell you that the adjunct part of that is also to pray. Now, we're going to have one point that talks about appealing, okay, and that is going to be my word for praying for one another. We're not going to get to it this week, obviously, but in the next week or two, we're going to be talking about exclusively about interceding for other church members, other family members. So that's excellent. That is a good first step. I think that is the first thing you need to do. Absolutely. Anybody else? Sometimes we can take a love offering. If you know somebody is struggling, let me know about it. We may do something publicly. We may do something privately. We have some things in place that allow our church to be able to be a blessing to somebody without embarrassing them necessarily. But I will tell you that people respond when there is a real need. I think in America, sometimes it's hard to find a real need. Not impossible, but it's hard. You know, there are seasons that sometimes a church member will go through, though, where they are being stretched by the Lord. And the church has an opportunity then to be a blessing and to help get them through that season. So, Brother John, did you have your hand up? Yeah, absolutely. There is the aspect of stepping in and being a blessing. I would want to be careful on becoming a source of revenue for somebody on a regular basis. There is a huge difference. You just got to pray, just like Brother Bill said, and you have to be convinced that it's of the Lord. And sometimes there's ways to give anonymously, but sometimes that you just step in and take care of something for somebody. Really, to me, it has a lot to do with the leading of the Spirit of God. And if you are walking in the Spirit and you are obeying the direction He's given you, I think that you're going to be just fine however it is that you help to carry that burden. But I think praying, I think certainly, yes, sir? That's very, very good. If you are able to sit down, if it is somebody that is habitually having financial problems, probably the worst thing you can do at that point is give to them, because you are enabling them to make poor decisions. But I think that depending on what the case is, if you're able to sit down and go through and set up a budget and hold them accountable to some degree, I think that will be some of the best help that you could give somebody. Miss Kathy? Yes. That's good. That's good. It's giving your time and your talents. One of the things I was going to get at, and you really touched on it, Miss Kathy, is if God's given you a gift and somebody has a car repair, and maybe they're not ready for that kind of a substantial investment into their car, and what I'm saying is it's going to cost more than they can afford to get it fixed, and you have the ability to help with the labor on that, you're not giving them money necessarily, but you are helping them, and maybe if you're there and they're able to learn, they might know how to do it for themselves next time. So I think these are all very good. It's not just a matter of pulling out your pocketbook necessarily. I think there are some creative ways that a church member can step in to be able to be a blessing to someone else. Very good. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Absolutely. You're able to... Listen, they're already pretty low if they're struggling with something, they're carrying that burden. And let me tell you, when you help carry a burden with somebody, that is going to be an encouragement. If you've ever gone on a hike and you've backpacked, you have a 50 or 60-pound load, I think I've told you before, I went on a three-day hike with my father-in-law probably about 10 or 12 years ago, and I don't know, I had this great idea that we're going to eat so good that first night, so the first day going up the mountain, I carried around cans of food. Now, we had packed dehydrated food for the rest of the trip, but for that first night, I don't know, Dinty Moore cans, I don't remember what it was, But it was such a relief to eat that and get it out of my backpack, okay? And it was an encouragement, I'll tell you that. So when you are able to take somebody's burden and lighten their load, it is going to encourage them. But I think that's a great point. So that's a lot of different ways in the area of finances. But what about, some of these are going to overlap, but we talked about health issues. When somebody's struggling, if they're a shut-in, you might hear some of this again on Sunday because we're talking about widows and orphans, all right? But it's interesting to me over the last couple of weeks how the Wednesday night studies have gone right along with the Sunday morning studies. But what about somebody that's not able to get out anymore? What if, yes, sir? Yeah, amen. I've seen that oftentimes where one goes through a health struggle, God gives strength to the spouse to be able to help carry them through, and that's amazing to me all the time. Yes, sir. Yes. It's not rocket science, is it? I mean, if somebody can't come out, you've got to go in. That's a great point. And you say, well, I don't know of any shut-ins that we have here at Maranatha. You come talk to me. I'll tell you some people that aren't able to make it out that would like to, okay? And I'll tell you, there's many from the church that faithfully go out and visit. But listen, you don't have to always necessarily make time in your schedule to go visit, although I think you should. But you might be able to write an encouraging card. I think most people, doesn't matter who you are, no matter what season of life you're in, nobody wants to feel like they've been forgotten by everybody. And when you're no longer able to come fellowship, it is easy for people to think, well, they've moved on or this or that, and think that, and the person at home thinks, well, nobody really loved me. Now listen, no one's ever come that isn't able to come and say that, and I think we are trying to do a good job in making sure people get out to visit. But I think just a card saying, hey, I'm praying for you. We miss you. Is there a time where I can come out and visit with you? Some people are, you can just show up on their doorstep and they're going to be glad to have you in. And sometimes you showing up is going to be more stress on them because they didn't know you were coming. And everybody's different. So sometimes it's good just to give a call and say, hey, is there a time I can come out? I'd love to just sit down and talk for a while. And so it's not just the shut-ins. There are people that are that have health struggles. May prevent them from getting out. Gino's just talking about somebody right now that is struggling. And so it's a thing that you have to have your eyes open. You have to have your heart attuned. And you have to be looking for ways to be able to bear someone's burden. I like what Ms. Kathy said. You can just spend time with them. Sometimes that's just enough. That's why we have nursing home ministries. That's why we do have I wouldn't call it an organized shut-in ministry, but we do send people out to visit those that aren't able to come. And that's why when somebody's sick, you want to go and spend some time with them. Because sometimes that is the biggest investment. You are enough to help lift that burden. There's a couple other ways, I think, at least one other way I can think of, that we can help somebody that is going through a health crisis, if you want to put it that way. Sometimes it's just nice to provide a meal for them. And we do that for people that are going through a loss in their family, through a funeral or a death and through the funeral and things like that. We'll do that for somebody that's having a baby. And if somebody gets sick, I will tell you this. I've heard just people bringing meals for people that I don't think I know the half of it. And I'm thankful for that. I think we have a very, very giving and thoughtful and benevolent church, for which I'm grateful. And so when we talk about this, it's easy to preach, right? Because nobody's under conviction. But it's a good reminder. it's a good reminder that it's not just out of the goodness of your heart, it's about the obedience of your heart to what God has said. So we talked about finances, we talk about health. What are some of the, I can't think of the other one that we mentioned that was at the top of my, what about when somebody's struggling in sin? Specifically, we talked about addiction. What can you do for somebody that is struggling? John? Yeah, reach out to them. Just let them know you're willing to help. Hey, I'm praying for you. Is there anything I can do for you? And when they're ready to take that step, you can be an accountability partner. You can be somebody that's going to help them to keep clean. Maybe it won't be very pleasant for them sometimes. But if you love them, sometimes tough love is what somebody needs. It's hard. They have to want it. But when they are low, you need to pick them up, not push them down. Does anybody else have any ideas about that? How can you help lighten the load of somebody? You have to be willing to be an accountability partner. Then you have to make the call or the text or whatever it is. You might have a discipleship class with them. It's going to take time. It takes energy. It takes an investment of you to bear someone else's burdens. You cannot bear someone else's burdens from your pew. I hope you understand what I'm saying. You've got to get actively involved. You have to expend some energy. Listen, are we saved by our good works? No. But are we created unto God for our good works? Yeah, He's saved us so we can be a blessing to others and lighten their burden. Listen, I just want to make it practical tonight. I want you to leave here thinking, how can I bear someone else's burden? Yes, prayer. That is the first and the most important thing. But that's not the only thing that we can do. I hope that tonight you'll ask yourself this question. How am I bearing someone else's burden? If it's a command, that means it's for all people, for all times in the church. Church members. I believe specifically talking about church members. So you say, well, I'm part of the PTA and I'm part of the 4-H. Listen, I'm for that if it's for outreach. But this is talking about inreach. This is talking about for the church family. So I want you to just ask yourself the question tonight. How am I lightening the load of someone that's in my church family? And if you can't think of a way, then maybe you need to ask the Holy Spirit of God, how can I get involved in this ministry of lightening the load? We need to assist those around us. Not because we want the limelight. An assist never gets the limelight. But I will tell you, you'll be a blessing to somebody if you choose to get involved in their life. You say, well, Pastor, they have to let me in. Well, you got to ask for the privilege to minister to someone. Let me tell you, it is a privilege when God uses you to be a blessing to someone else.